On the Manifest telecast today, I'm going to share a very unusual message with our worldwide audience. God gave me a dream about Satan. I've actually had two, but one recently that happened in January of 2023, there was a revelation from God in this dream on how to deal with Satan when he comes. And I know most people, when you have a telecast like this, they want you to jump right into the dream because we're so used to these clips of 5 minutes and 7 minutes and going to a commercial that they don't know, people don't always watch. And so sometimes they miss the foundation of what you want to teach. And so I always build a foundation anytime I share a word with you. Now, I've heard ministers say in the past, well, don't ever talk about Satan. Don't ever glorify him. This is not glorifying him. It's actually exposing something about him that God wants you to know from the scripture. Let me just share with you that if you go through history, I was reading the other day where a professor from one of our leading universities in America was explaining to people in an article that he wrote where the West and those in Europe obtained or received their ideas of Satan, who he was and what he was like. Basically, what he did is he went through scripture to talk about the different symbolisms of Satan throughout scripture, but there are some imageries or pictures of Satan that people have developed in their mind over the years, which are totally incorrect. Now, here's the correct ones. First of all, Satan used a natural serpent in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3, and a serpent became his emblem all throughout scripture. And we're not going to talk about that in detail, but that is point one. One of the second identifications about Satan is found in Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12, that he is a fallen angel. How thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. So he's a fallen angel based on Isaiah 14. And then when you go to the book of Ezekiel chapter 28, it tells you that he was the anointed cherub. So his angelic position before he was expelled from heaven was that of a cherub, which was an angel that in scripture is assigned to the presence of God and assigned to be a guardian of the presence. That gives you a little bit, perhaps, background of Satan's history before the fall. Now, someone said, you keep talking about the fall. Well, Jesus said in Luke 19, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Satan was expelled from heaven before Adam and Eve were ever created in the Garden of Eden. A third example is in the King James translation of Revelation chapter 12. It talks about a dragon, and it says, I saw a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and then it later identifies that dragon as Satan. In reality, the word dragon there translated is from the 1611 King James translation of the Bible. Back in the 1600s, 15 and 1600s, there was all of these ideas about slaying dragons. And so the word dragon is used there, but the Greek word used for dragon in the 12th chapter of Revelation is actually a Greek word for serpent. So it literally can translate, I saw a serpent with 7 heads and 10 horns. That's what the original word used by John in the book of Revelation actually means. And so Satan is a 7-headed dragon? No, it's a symbol of a serpent that has 7 heads or 7 principalities or 7 empires that he has influenced in Bible prophecy. And of course, we know who they are when you study history. You have Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, and you have 6 major empires, and the 7th head of the dragon is that 7th empire that continues a short space in the book of Revelation. And of course, we don't want to get off on that. That's another teaching. Well, we also know that later on, and a lot of this came during the medieval times, Satan began to take on different pictures or imageries in drawings or in sketches, even sometimes in paintings. And in the medieval time, he had the hooves of a goat. He had a rather goat's head. He had a goatee. Later on, he had two horns on top of his head, similar to a goat. He had a red tail, a tail. He had a pitchfork in his hand. And these are images that are man-made. Let me say that again. These are images that are man-made. This is not the biblical, nor is it the actual imagery of what Satan looks like. Later on, and this came through some of the plays, operas and plays that came out of Europe, he was given this red-colored skin. So what does he actually look like? Now, we do know that he is a fallen angel. So there are many different types of angels alluded to in the Bible. And the cherub, according to the Bible, some of them have wings. Some of them have the face of an ox, an eagle, a lion, and a man. So does Satan, what does he look like? Well, he looks like a man. And I'm going to prove that from the Bible. As a matter of fact, in Isaiah 14, where it says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, and Satan," this is Satan, "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High God. I will sit in the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." There's five "I wills" in Isaiah 14. All of these are statements that Satan made in his attempt to overthrow God and sit above his throne. Yet it says, "But you shall be brought down to the sides of the pit." The eternal doom of Satan is going to be in the lake of fire. Now, here's where it gets interesting. There's a verse that very few people preach, teach, or even mention that tells you what the reaction of people will be when they eventually can actually see Satan. This is going to come on the screen. If you've never seen this, this is stunning. Now, this is all in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 16 through 17. "Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, 'Is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities?'" Did you see that? In other words, when they see him, he's not going to have golden wings and horns on his head and a tail. He's going to look like a man. And I can confirm to you from two dreams I've had, and I have had two. The one I want to share with you is the main one. But I can tell you he looks like a man. And so having said that, let me just share with you. And I do want to share with you. I was going to share with you just the one, but I think it would be edifying and bring out some points to share with you one that I had several years ago. Years ago, and I won't go into all the details, people began to contact me who were true. And I don't mean people that are self-acclaimed prophets and prophetesses. If you're a real prophet or prophetess with a gift from God, you don't have to tell anybody that you are prophet or prophetess so-and-so. They will say you are, not some blow a trumpet and the prophet parade has begun. And I say that because I see so many things done in the name of the Lord today that's just really out of the human spirit and not by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And I think some of you that discern know what I'm talking about there. But anyway, I was warned about an attack that would come from the enemy. And I'm talking about if I were to go back to, the time frame, some of this was 11 years ago. Some of it was 9 and 8 years ago. And the Lord even, 8 years ago, God even showed one person doesn't live in this state, out of state, the people that would be involved in one of these situations. Showed them on the ministry property. So it's pretty amazing. But there at the time, see, here's the thing. When you get a warning, if nothing is happening, you kind of put it on the back burner. When, you should write it down and say, okay, keep this, and not live in fear about it, but understand that the Lord already knows in advance what is in the heart of people. And he knows what's coming. You know, he's already been out there. So anyway, that happened. In the middle of the night, when I was getting all these warnings, I didn't have the enemy on my mind. I was in a room that quick. I was in a deep sleep in a room and standing probably as far as from here to that camera, which is maybe it's probably 10 feet away from me. I saw Satan. He never told me he was Satan. I knew by the spirit who he was. Now, was he ugly? Did he have warts on his face? Did he have cuts all over him? Did he have horns? No. In fact, he was very, very strong looking. He was very tall. He was very broad-shouldered. He was extremely handsome. If you would have seen him, you would have thought that maybe one of the most handsome. I can't describe the features of someone that's handsome. He just, the combination of his features. He did have hair on his head. And the weird part was that I would think he would have a skin color, like a skin tone. And I know he's a spirit, but he would have like a gray. I have seen demonic spirits and they are grayish in colors. His entire being, except for his head, was covered with a built-in type of armor. Now, I don't want you to laugh at me and think this is weird, because you're going to, you know, people will go on the internet, oh my God, Perry Stone said Satan had this. You're not hearing me if you say it the wrong way. But if you ever see these movies that Hollywood makes where someone has an outfit on and it actually looks like it's a part of their body, that's the kind of armor that he had on. I didn't see metal. I didn't see silver, gold, bronze, or any other metal, but it looked like instead of having clothing or a robe, that his entire body, he had covered himself with some type of a protective gear. Now remember, Revelation 12 says Michael and his angels fight against the dragon. Remember in Daniel 10, there's a war in heaven between Gabriel and the prince of Persia. Remember that an angel with the sword guarded the Garden of Eden. Remember that there was angels with swords. In fact, I don't want to get into the angels with swords thing. Chariots of fire, horses of fire. So there's battles in which there is apparently some type of a supernatural armor. Anyway, I saw that. Well, anyway, he looked at me and he said, I despise you and I hate you. And I looked at him and said, I hate you too. And I remember that instead of having a fear of God on me toward him, I began to think about the blood of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the power of the word of God. And I was bold, not fearful of what he was going to do, but I was bold in the Lord, not in me, but in the Lord. Now that's not the main dream. Let me give you the main dream. Okay. About the time that this dream happened in January of 2023, which is recently, I had been told that there was a possibility of five blockages that were in my heart. I was also being told there was a possibility of the necessity of putting stents in to open up those blockages. I was also aware that my A1C was moving back up, and so there was a lot of physical things going on. In this particular dream, very real, I remember every detail of it, I had walked, and in these dreams, I don't just walk into a building, but there was a building. I was inside of a building. Don't know where it was. And in this building, I saw my black briefcase that I carry on the road everywhere I go to minister. I saw my suitcase, and it was beside my briefcase, and it was as though I was packed and ready to go. Folks, I heard a voice from heaven. Not a person in front of me or a person near me. I heard a voice from heaven say, Satan is coming. Now, when I heard it, I wasn't sure if it meant he was coming to attack me or if he was just coming in general to attack people. And the reason I'm sharing this with you is if this is a warning of Satan coming. Now, we know in Revelation 12, in the tribulation, he comes down to earth with great wrath, knowing he has but a short time. So that's going to be fulfilled one day. But this was different. And I remember thinking, oh my goodness. And then I saw an invisible hand take the top of my briefcase and pick up that. It's a metal handle and it comes out where you can, you know, pull the case. And it lifted it up and it started moving my case toward a glass door like it was stealing my travel case. And my notes are in there and so on. Then I saw the same hand come and lift up the case on my suitcase. And you that have travel suitcases or briefcases know what I'm talking about. And that hand started moving. And I'm watching these two invisible hands. And I began to rebuke and say, no, you're not going to do that. You will not take my stuff. No. And I'm going to tell you two things I heard. And again, I do risk people mocking this or making fun of this. You know what? That's your problem, not mine. I know the voice of the Lord. I've known it for 40 some years. I know the voice of the Lord. I know when he speaks. And I heard God speak out of heaven and say, call on Michael, the archangel, and Gabriel to go to battle. Well, I knew Michael will battle Satan directly in the cosmic war of Revelation 12. I also know that Gabriel has been involved in spiritual battles in Daniel 10. and is the revelator to bring divine revelation to the earth. And I just shot my hand up and I began to call on Michael and Gabriel, two of the chief angels of heaven, for it was time for them to go to battle and go to war. Now, I'm not saying they were going to battle and going to war for me personally. It is a general statement to call on angels, warring angels, to go to fight and go to battle, because the enemy is moving with great wrath. And I can tell you that he is. I'm going to tell you how I know that. I can't tell you the number of ministers. It's probably every one of them I know personally that have gone through very strange, weird warfare, which is either a complete distraction to them to have to deal with, or it's the enemy trying to shut down their voice or shut down their ministry. I don't mean five. I don't mean 10. I can count them. It would take many hands to count the reports that men have shared with me. Some have tried, the enemy's tried to split their churches. Satan has tried to bring uprisings among the people. Belligerent people, people who claim to be saved, but yet, oh my Lord, they're the voice of Satan. They are an adversary and a Satan in the earth. And yet they think they're Satan going to heaven. I'm telling you, they're coming as angels of light. All right. So the Lord said that. And then as I turned to look down a hallway where the doors were on the left, long hallway, I saw that same being that I saw many years ago, and I knew it was Satan. And he's in the distance. I'm not going to estimate how many feet. I'm not good at that. It may have been 40 feet away. And very slowly, he looks at me and starts walking toward me. And I said, Lord, what do I do now? And he said, God said, I'm telling you, this is a word, but this is also a word for every one of you watching me who deal with satanic attack right now. God said, I want you to say out loud, Satan, get behind me in the name of Yeshua. Now, normally in the English language, when I pray, I would say in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this time, the Hebrew name of Christ, which is Yeshua, which was the name given to him by Gabriel originally, you shall call his name Jesus. That's a Greek translation. But in Hebrew, Mary was a Jewish lady. It would have been Yeshua. And I mean, I screamed, I command you, Satan, to get behind me in the name of Yeshua. And I saw him stop. Then he moved forward again. I said it aloud again. Then a third time when I said it with great authority. And I knew I was looking to God when I was saying it. Wasn't looking to me. I said, God, stop him. In the name of Yeshua, I said, get behind me. And I saw the left leg go out from under him, and he fell over to the side, and it just stopped him right there. I knew he was moving. He was making his move, but I knew that with the help of the angels and with this authority in the name of Jesus, that is now, someone said, well, why would you say get behind me? Look, two times Jesus used the phrase get behind me. When Satan was tempting Jesus in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke 4, but in Matthew, the final thing Jesus says, Satan, get thee behind me. And immediately when he said that with authority, Satan departed for a season. It doesn't mean Satan's not going to come back. The adversary, the kingdom of darkness, is not going to try another attack. Of course they're going to do that as long as you live, especially if you have an assignment in the kingdom of God. But then the second time that Jesus said, get behind me, this is a little odd, but it happened, is when Peter came to Jesus and Christ was warning his disciples that he would die. And Peter said, be it far removed from you. And Jesus wheeled around and said, get behind me, Satan, for you do not appreciate. He said it this way, you do not savor the things of God. You are an offense to me. The word offense there in Greek means a stumbling block. You are a stumbling block. You're trying to create, Satan, you're trying to create a stumbling block for me. And so twice Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Once he addresses Satan, and a second time he addresses a person that's trying to create a stumbling block. So if you look at this in detail, what it means, what does it mean to get behind you, Satan? Get behind me, Satan. If Satan is in front of you, he's attacking you. If he's in front of you and you're not obeying God, you might be following him. When he is behind you, you are free to move forward. You are free to go forward and to do the will of God, to do what God has called you to do, and not have to deal with the distraction that the enemy is trying to present. The reason I'm sharing this with you is for two purposes. Number one is to tell you that it is time that believers in deep, deep intercession. My dad used to call on angels all the time to protect the family, to fight against adversaries. And I'm telling you, I saw with my own eyes God come through. And it many times it had to be completely an answer to prayer and supernatural for it to take place. Call on angels of God. According to Psalms, angels hearken to the voice of God's word. So call on the angels of God to assist you and to stand with you to fight these battles. Secondly, is when you know it has turned into a satanic warfare, you can sit back and just take it. You can sit back and complain about it, and you can just talk about woe is me. Or you can command Satan in the name of Christ. And in this case, I'm telling you what God said. Yeshua is the Hebrew name of Jesus. I'm not going to argue about how you pray and all of that. I've prayed in the name of the Lord, in the name of Christ, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ my whole life, and will continue to do so. But in this case, for some reason, the Lord said, when you deal with Satan, you command him to get behind you in the name of Yeshua. And I want to teach you that in your prayer life, do that with intensity and with faith. And I believe this is a message the Lord wanted me to give you, because I don't believe that instruction was just for me. I believe that was a general instruction for every minister, pastor, and church and believers who seem to be fighting a battle. Let me tell you, if it's not a natural battle, it's a supernatural battle. And if you ever have anything supernatural happen, it's either God or the enemy. And that's where you have to discern. But if it's the enemy, you have to take authority over it with your words and with your mouth. Wow, this has really gone fast. Please watch what I'm going to share with you. I'll be back in a moment.
It's time to learn what you don't know about your future. Now available is Perry Stone's new landmark prophetic book, Your Journey into Eternity, Life for the Next 1,000 Years. Discover what occurs the moment your inner eyes are opened at death and your spirit returns to God. Journey through the 3 levels of heaven, including paradise, where Christian martyrs rest. Learn about the new body you will receive at Christ's return or at the resurrection, and why the dead at times appear in dreams, and what memories you have after death. Learn about the marriage supper in heaven from a Hebraic perspective, and what the Bible teaches about the new heaven, new earth, and new Jerusalem coming down. Perry unlocks the mystery of babies in heaven, including miscarried and aborted infants. Perry also explains what our 1,000-year reign with Christ will look like on earth. Read Perry's parabolic revelation about what if God said yes to the dead? Will your family circle be unbroken in eternity? Perry presents often untaught insights using his 46 years of in-depth biblical research from the Old and New Testaments. The book includes incredible Greek and Hebrew word studies, as well as amazing stories that reveal secrets of life after death, events in heaven, and life on the new earth. Perry is also including an audio teaching, The Temple of the Tabernacle of the Testimony, that his friends say is the most interesting biblical teaching from the book of Revelation he has ever taught. In this teaching, Perry shares secrets in heaven's temple, the most important building in heaven, where all human records and tribulation judgment files are kept. It is here where you will stand at the judgment seat before Christ's throne and give a face-to-face account of what the angels have written about you, from birth to death, including all your idle words and how you treated others. This is a teaching that will alert you to what you say and cause you to guard your words and actions. The landmark new book and 2-hour audio teaching is available for your gift of just $35 or more to help keep Manifest on the air around the world. To order this offer, visit perrystone.org or call toll-free 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323. You can also order by sending $35 to Perry Stone Ministries, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320, and request offer ET143 when ordering. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
I hope you've enjoyed the teaching from the Manifest Telecast. We're going to do a lot of subjects. We're going to be covering a vast variety of subjects, but they're all going to be right now messages. And that's why I want you to keep watching from anywhere you're watching throughout the world. For those of you that can order this here on the continental United States especially, we have the Temple of the Tabernacle of the Testament. I just want to mention to you that this is probably the most interesting audio about the future that I've ever put together in 47 years of ministry, because everything about your the knowledge of your birth, your name, The book of life, all the history records of your life, all the things you said, all the things you did are in a temple of the tabernacle of thee. There's the word testimony. It's, I always wondered where all this stuff was stored. And one verse in the Bible told me, I want you to get this and listen to it. The book comes with it for this offer. Now, pay careful attention, because if we're coming to Montana, to the Great Crow Reservation there, and we're going to do the Crow Nation's an annual camp meeting Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, July 7th through 9th. Evangel World Prayer Center, Pastor Bob Rogers Church, Belltown Road, Evangel World Prayer Center, July 20th through the 23rd. That's our big conference. We do have services on Friday and Saturday morning as well there, all day Sunday. We come into Trinity Christian Center, July 30th through August the 3rd. That's a Sunday through a Wednesday. We do morning services on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday there. Y'all, if you're up in that area, just plan on joining us. Please come and be with us there. And if you can't go there, go to Wasilla. On the 6th through the 9th, that's a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, Wasilla, Alaska, the brand new church. You got to come see this beautiful church they built up there, Pastor Daniel Bracken's church, for a great revival conference there as well. Then August 18th and 19th, we're coming to Willis, Texas at the Family Faith Church. That's a Friday and Saturday. We have a Saturday morning service there. Most of you know that. August 20th, all day Sunday at Family Faith Church in Huntsville, Texas. And then Christ Temple Church, yes, back to Huntington, West Virginia, Friday, Saturday morning, Saturday night, all day Sunday, Huntington, West Virginia. And a lot of you have not been able to come in the past because of the COVID restrictions and things. Now you can come and be with us in these meetings. Come on now. San Diego, California, September the 28th, one day only. I'll be preaching at the 2023 Morrisonville Legacy Center Feast of Tabernacles Celebration. Now, I'm only there for one service, and you have to contact their ministry to there in California, the Legacy Center. And the information is on our website, Faith Landmark Ministries, on October 15th. And please join us in the Richmond, Virginia area. Do not forget the main event coming in October. You need to go to perrystone.org to check out our itinerary. Keep up with us through Facebook, Perrystone YouTube channel, and see if we're going to be in your area. Sometimes people will say, I didn't know you were here. Well, you didn't check social media, because we would have told you we're coming. So hope you can join us in a meeting somewhere in the future. Thank you for your prayers. God bless you.
Perry Stone invites you to join him for his 2023 Israel tour. The dates are November 19th through the 28th. There is also an optional tour to the country of Jordan that includes Petra and much more. Call 1-888-321-3629 or visit perrystone.org for more information and how to register. Seating is limited, so call today.